sun, and this will be our year to a long time to come. Don't let go of my hand now, the darkness has gone. This will be our year to a long time to come, and I won't forget.
This is the Insert Credit 2012 Retro Spectacular. I'm Alex Jaffe. Joining me this week, Brandon Sheffield.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Cifaldi.
How you doing?
And Tim Rogers.
Yeah, that's me, I guess.
Now, Tim, you kind of won that whole lightning round deal last week, and because of that, you're supposed to bring us a question. What have you got for us?
So right now in Indiana, we got about 8 inches of snow overnight, and it is continuing. There is this smoke of snow just descending onto the ground right now. These really, really tiny granules. So, and it's just like a curtain of it. So I was thinking about snow levels in video games. So what's your favorite snow level in a video game? I'm going to start mine off with, I'll just start it off. I like the snow palace in Secret of Mana because there's really cool music and you're kind of walking around in the snow forest, and then it really feels like winter inside that snow palace.
I was going to say winter's in Earthbound for the exact same reasons that you just said.
That would be my runner-up, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really wintry song. It feels really cold somehow. It's got the sort of like Christmas bell part to the song, too, that makes it really feel wintry.
I immediately thought of the opening stage in Castlevania, the one that has Soma in it.
Aria of Sorrow.
Aria of Sorrow.
You mean Dawn of Sorrow.
Dawn of Sorrow. Dawn of Sorrow, that's right.
Yeah.
Because it was on the DS. And
that's got all the snow.
It's got all the snow, and that was the one where there was a van there because it was semi-modern, and when you stepped on one end of the van, the thing would tilt and snow would fall off one end, and I was like, yes, that's what I want 2D games to actually do all the time. Please always do that.
Snow particles.
Yeah, I like that a lot, and so that's my answer, is that.
I like that part as well. I like Winters in Earthbound probably better, though. I think Winters in Earthbound is really cool. I still say the Secret of Mana Palace because we played Secret of Mana over the winter break in 1993, so I actually have memory of there being snow on the ground, and there was actually snow on the ground, and there was snow in the TV. It was a pretty good combo.
I kind of like the beginning of Final Fantasy VI as well.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of being snowy and feeling snowy.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen it, so...
Never seen real snow. There's a whole bunch of it right outside my window. I'm gonna open these blinds and try and tilt the camera.
Let me get a peek at some snow.
Wow, you can actually kind of see a lot out this window. I'm going to turn the camera a little bit. I think it probably won't focus, but that's how white it is.
Because it's just pure white.
Yeah, it's just like pure whiteness, like because the sun reflects right.
For those of you listening at home, Tim is showing us a shaft of pure white light.
Yeah, it's just that I'm going to leave it open here so that we have for the people viewing at home. But yeah, it's just like snow blindness out there. And one of the things I like about snow in video games, like Secret of Mana, the snow is like this newsprint color, you know? It's like not this blinding, terrible white snow. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think you guys all know the reason those Ice Age movies, there's so many CG movies about snow. There's like that Penguin one. I think there's two of those Penguin ones.
Yeah.
And then there's that Ice Age one. Because snow is just really easy to computer animate. Like, or not snow, but ice. You know, it's just pure whiteness. It's like the bald space marine of environments, you know. The bald space marine doesn't have hair, so the hair is the hard part. I think that's kind of that's why those things are so popular.
Oh, wow.
But man, I really like that. We were talking about Santa Claus in a video game last
year. Yeah, good old Santa's.
Yeah, there was Santa was in the Secret of Mana. Man, Santa.
Secret of Santa.
Man, Secret of Mana is just a really wintry game. The music has a lot of those kind of bell sounds and stuff.
That Mike Micah fella, he from from Other Ocean, he was playing. He just said, he told me on Christmas, I just played the heck out of Santa Claus Jr. for Game Boy Color so that nobody else will ever have to. It's all about sacrifice this time of year. I think that's his Santa game of the universe right there.
I really like the ice level in Sonic 3 also as a snowy level.
It looks really good. The way they put those graphics together is really nice.
Yeah. Oh, man, Donkey Kong Country also. Those trees were just heavy with snow. That is actually what the trees look like outside, right outside my window, if you can see it. It's just like weighed down with snow.
I just don't like how those games look.
Winteriest song in a video game is that Frazzizi Peak theme in Super Mario 64. That gives me all kinds of holiday
cheer. That's a pretty good one, yeah.
Meanwhile, I don't like those snow levels. I don't like them. Mario getting stuck in the snow, it just feels kind of weird.
It's not very good design when compared to the rest of the game, but the music is memorable.
You know, I think it's kind of telling that we've mostly chosen RPGs for this because, you know, actual ice levels where you slip around are terrible.
Pretty much.
They're the worst, and I hate them.
Except Super Mario 3.
The two action games that we chose, Sonic 3 and Dawn of Sorrow, do not let you slide around.
Yeah, is there any sliding in Sonic 3?
I don't think so.
There's a tiny bit, but Sonic as a game is kind of designed around the feeling of sliding, of coasting uncontrollably.
Yeah. I feel like they upped it a tiny bit, but it was not like for a challenge. It was more for effect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's always very little friction on Sonic in general. So I think Super Mario Bros. 3's Ice World, the whole World 6, that's actually a really good wintry song, too.
All right.
So, I mean, man, it's a good wintry song, and all those levels are pretty good. But those are ice levels, not snow levels, I would call those. Like, they actually kind of design around ice very well.
Mm-hmm. Ice levels are jerks.
So, do you guys want to break into the retrospection now?
Let's get in it.
They're okay.
What was the most memorable single moment in a video game this year?
Most memorable single moment.
Well, yes. I'm going to, of course, just do that for me, because I certainly couldn't say what everyone's is. But
sure. For you, personally.
My most memorable single moment, most likely, was when I was playing Fez, and I came back from an evening on the town, and I was like, I'm just going to do a little bit more Fezzing and try to get one of these rooms that I haven't gotten to before. And that was when I found this one room that is composed of tiles, not really tiles because they're blocks, but from all the other areas of the game that I had already visited. And the field of view was very narrow, and the tiles were all flipping around and stuff, and the music was totally freaking out. And I was like, oh my god, this is like the building block. This is the underground of Fez, and it was really a pretty neat moment to have that kind of feeling of discovery without having heard about it before. So I really liked that.
I can't place a specific moment, but I would guess my first and so far only playthrough of Link's Awakening must have had that moment for me, because there's a lot of aha dungeon moments, and I did a pretty good job of not looking on the internet for how to solve the dungeons for this game. I like the idea of actually playing the game as if I, you know, got it in 1993 or whatever, and like it was my only game and that's all I could play. It was kind of a mental experiment, I guess, and like, can I recapture that feeling? If in the course of Tim answering this question I come up with a specific moment, I will relay it, but it's somewhere in that game. It's my moment here.
All right. I was going to say that when I played through Link's Awakening, the most memorable moment for me was sprinkling that fairy dust on the raccoon feller, because I was stuck at that point for like about a month because I didn't know what video games were yet, and that kind of blew my mind.
Well, he's like, you know, I'm really sensitive to dust, by the way.
That guy, man. I liked that raccoon in that game.
Tim, you got any?
I could memorable moments in video games this year.
I could do another one if you can't think of one.
I just want to say for everybody viewing at home, I just drew this picture of Frank on my iPad while he was talking.
Uh-huh.
What do you think of that?
It's a pretty good picture.
Not too bad.
Yeah,
for those listening at home, it looks like he was 5 years old drawing that.
We will put it on the post. I'll send it in to you guys. God, moments playing video games. I'm going to go ahead, and this is possibly a huge cop-out, but possibly not a huge cop-out. But my favorite moment in video games of 2012 was watching Brandon, Patrick Miller, Zach McCune, and that one other guy play a video game that me and Porter had made, a video game called Media Olympics, which is kind of a four-player, two-on-two Asteroids soccer esport game that we are hoping to release on the PC within the next 2 months or so. Watching them play this game that I had designed, and they had been playing for about 2 hours, and then there was one game where suddenly Patrick Miller's team just was dominating because they had figured out what sort of depth of strategy there was in the game. So it was like seeing this game that I had designed in my head several months earlier, and then on just a whim, me and Porter had made it in like 2 days, and just seeing people play it and realizing that there was this huge depth of strategy in it was kind of cool.
Yeah, I was on that Patrick Miller team.
You were definitely on that. It was more the Patrick Miller team because
I know I helped a lot though.
You sure did. You did help a lot on that.
I gave him some assists.
Well, that's really cool because it's almost, you know, it's almost like the game takes on a life of its own at that moment.
It's like you're watching
your creation actually live, you know.
Game developers speak of it as emergent game design or like emergent tactics emergent gameplay. Yeah. So it was. It had emerged. I saw the tactics emerge, and I only had like a vague notion of what kind of tactics were in the game, because obviously it's a two-on-two game, so I meant for there to be team tactics coming up. And so we recorded videos of that and watched those for several hours, kind of like a high school football coach watching the game tapes, you know, and that is how we finished the design of the game, was watching that one match over and over again.
Wow.
And being like, this is what people do. So watching that, and then later playing Halo, and playing Halo with McCune, who was on the losing team of that match, playing Halo with McCune online, and just being like, I'd kind of rather play my own game than this, was kind of cool. But Halo was pretty fun. The end.
The revelation that you are better than Halo might be the moment of the year.
Yeah. Realizing that there is a future beyond Halo.
Guys, let's move on to our next topic, because that buttoned it rather nicely. What is the greatest disappointment of the year?
Greatest disappointment of the year.
Yeah. Nobody made the game that I want to play.
Really?
That kind of sucks. So maybe they should do it. Get on it, everybody.
Get on, guys.
Thanks, guys.
I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure that all of the dev kits for TurboGrafx-16 have kind of fizzled out.
They didn't really have dev kits. They had to do it on their own. They didn't even have hard drives at that point. Wait, no, they did, but they didn't have, what I mean to say is they didn't have disk drives that they could, or burners. So to kind of replicate the size of a CD to make a game for a TurboGrafx CD, they had to stack up a bunch of hard drives and link them together in order to make enough storage space to emulate the awesome power of a CD.
Oh, God.
So there you go. Facts about the TurboGrafx.
So
I learned that from Takahashi Meijin, who is the longtime spokesperson.
The star of Hudson's Adventure Island.
That's right.
More so, like Takahashi Meijin's Adventure Island is what it was called in Japan.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, maybe, that answers that question, right?
Yeah. Maybe the Ouya is the TurboGrafx-16 of the future.
Nope.
No.
Maybe. Oh. Could be. What the darn do I know?
You know what the Ouya is maybe that's my biggest disappointment, that somehow got like $45 million or whatever it is.
Right.
I think it was five.
Like nine, but...
Yeah. Okay, nine, whatever. That's... 4, 2, 5, but if you add them, then it's 9, so that's the right answer.
4, 2, 5, so that's 9, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, 45 is a multiple of 9.
I'm pretty smart about that stuff, I guess.
Sure.
You did that all by yourself.
Hey, Frank, what was the most disappointing moment for you this year in video games?
Again, I'm having a hard time like pinpointing a moment. I guess I don't really track my life in moments. You know, like I don't think of it that
way.
Gotta start doing it.
What was the most disappointing?
Okay, no, I got it. I've got it because I already wrote about this on Gama Sutra. This was one of the bigger moments of the year. Was I think all three of us were at the Sony press conference at E3, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was horrible. Yeah.
And there's this moment that I'm sure people are aware of it, where they were showing some gameplay, some very heavily staged, I'm sure, gameplay of a demo of The Last of Us, which is a game that Naughty Dog is making. And I won't go into the details of the game. Just at this point of E3, a lot of us were just sick of all the sort of hyper-violence of it. Not necessarily because, for me anyway, because I'm sensitive to it, but because I'm bored by it. I'm really just disappointed that that's like the best we can do at this huge trade show or showing off what we do to the world. And so they're showing this trailer of The Last of Us, and you know, we've seen trailers of like Far Cry 3 of guys getting their throats slit left and right. And this trailer ends literally with a guy begging for his life before the player points a shotgun at him and just, you know, destroys his entire face.
Please, no!
And that's you know, that's fine. It kind of fit within the game's premise. I'm not mad at the game, but people started applauding a lot.
They cheered.
They got up. A guy in front of me got up and punched the air. Like, he was just so excited to see, like, a game where a guy, where you can, you know, blow a guy's face up. And it was just, it broke a lot of us. At least at Gama Sutra, it just broke us. We just hated E3 from that moment. We were just done with AAA games for the year, almost. And it kind of changed the way we covered the industry at the website. It changed the way I think about it, too. We became... You know, for better or worse, I think better, a lot more sort of indie focused. We, you know, didn't return as many PR phone calls after that. And that was, I guess you'd call that a disappointing. Yeah, it was a disappointing moment. It made me disappointed that, like, that's the best we can do at this trade show that, you know, all the major media is covering. That's how we're choosing to represent ourselves.
That's kind of a defining moment. I mean,
yeah, it was my defining moment of the year, but it's also
disappointing.
I guess I define my life by my disappointments.
Sure.
So do I.
Yeah.
Man, disappointments. So I think I'm going to add to that. First of all, for everybody watching, this is a picture I drew of Brandon.
Oh, nice.
Brandon, you look like a Frankenstein.
I look a lot like a Frankenstein for everyone that can't see the drawings.
Yeah,
I look a lot like a Frankenstein monster, not the doctor.
I'm going to include this picture in the post as well. I think I want to add to that. It's just people freaking out and being people. Okay, I was in the bathroom at that Sony press conference after the press conference, right? And some guy comes up and he goes, "Yo, you know where that Ubisoft thing is?" And I'm like, "No." And he's like, "Are you going to that?" And I'm like, "No." And no, this was actually at the Microsoft press conference, sorry. And he goes, "You going to that?" And I'm like, "No, nah." And then he's like, "You think it's going to be tight?" is what he said. And I was like, wow.
Yes.
So,
was that,
you know,
was,
where
was the hip-hop gamer guy?
No, it was just some dude. Some dude, he's probably a hip-hop gamer.
Did he have, like, a gold wrestling belt on?
No, he was just
would
a guy.
Recognize that guy.
He was just a guy. Just a guy.
So, which of the big three would you say won 2012?
Nintendo, man.
No.
That's Super Mario Brothers.
Nobody.
New Super Mario Brothers. Come on.
It's definitely Sony. I mean, they've got the Vita. It's the most powerful handheld ever made.
I think the one of the big three that won 2012 was Apple.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I was gonna say.
Yeah. Well, even Apple's fault. Wait, like if that's the winner, that sucks.
In the sense that Apple, Google, and Facebook are the big three now.
I'm just gonna say how many hours did you log on your game console playing video games versus your iDevice?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my iDevice right here.
I got mine right here. My own self.
Got a tiny one.
We've all got one.
Yeah, we've all got one of them.
I've got
an iDevice right here. I got another one.
You know, I played Ascension every day since I got this iPad. I'm pretty sure, and Hero Academy most days. Not as many people want to play against me in Hero Academy for some reason, but
because you're tough and like you're probably too good at it.
I'm probably way too good at it. That's probably what it is. But yeah, I think Apple won because, you know, Microsoft did pretty okay. They sold consoles and stuff, but they are also declining in sales quite a lot because it's the end of their console's life and a lot of people already have that Xbox. And then Sony has just been kind of pooping all over.
Yeah.
And doing that awesome thing that I've discussed on this podcast before where they're like, okay, we're going to release this on the Vita and on the PSP. It's like, lol, okay. So I will buy that for the thing that I already have then. Thank you.
Well, that's what they were doing at the beginning of the PS3's development cycle, weren't they? Releasing games for the PS3 and the PS2?
Yeah, but at the time, the PS3, at the time they were doing that, the PS3 could play all PS2 games. And so it was like, well, this is going to happen that PS3 games are going to be the only thing, and I can also play PS2 games on it, so why the heck not? I mean, sort of, I think that worked. But in this case, you can't just put your PSP games on there. You have to buy them again, mm-hmm. like some kind of a jerk. And that's not
for the Vita.
And then what with that Nintendo, it's just too early to... I mean, they've had a new thing out for like a month. Or 2 months, or however many months it is, but not very many of them, and I don't really think that they could win.
But it's so sweet. I'm just kidding. It's not actually sweet.
I'm sure talked about this a little bit, but I mean the numbers are probably okay for this Wii U, but you can just feel that it's not there. You know,
I'm gonna tell you what though.
Perception here though. What? Go ahead.
I'm gonna tell y'all what is I played New Super Mario Bros. U for like 6 hours at my friend Doug Jones's house the other day.
Wow.
We played it three players, and me, him, and his wife played it like for 6 hours. And we had a goddamn good old time. It was fantastic. Maybe that was my best game-related. That was a great game moment because I actually really had a lot of fun with that. So that's why I jokingly said Nintendo won, but, you know. Yeah,
well, Nintendo can still make good games, but is this system you know enough of a backbone to sustain whatever they have?
Well, I don't feel like we're gonna know that ourselves because we are us, and anytime we use ourselves as a barometer, then we're going to get stuff totally wrong. Because
that's not true.
I'm just comparing my experience with the Wii release to my experience with the Wii U release, and just the buzz isn't there.
No, the buzz wasn't there for the Wii release either, in my opinion.
It was. It was all over the place. It was impossible. No. Like,
Brandon, you were still lurking. You were still lurking the PC Engine forums at that time, probably.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So maybe your perception is flawed, but don't speak about the rest of us.
No, that was a lot of excitement.
Don't speak about The Last of Us either.
The Last of Us.
The last
no, when
Elvis.
The Wii came out, I mean, you had it in every living room, and, you know, my mom, whose house I'm in right now, you know, she picked up the controller for the first time since the NES and was playing video games.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that.
Really exciting for that. I mean, you know, it kind of became its own thing after that, but, you know, there was that burst of excitement at first, and there was enough momentum to build on. I don't feel like there's any momentum for the Wii U. I feel like people who bought it are just people who are, you know, buying a new toy, not because it's, you know, there's a reason to, just because it's new.
Well, the Wii was a new toy as well, but I do see your point. So I guess, well, it doesn't change the answer from Apple yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think, among other things, Apple had exclusive Ziggurat.
Yeah.
They had
for this entire year.
For an entire year, yeah. And that is actually a remarkable achievement.
Sure.
For anybody, any game platform publisher would die for that.
I hope you make some more games, Tim, so we can talk about those some more on this podcast.
I mean, how many action button games are platform exclusive? I can only name one.
I can only name two.
Which one's the other one? Because Tennis is on Android as well.
No. Way. It's not.
No, it's not.
Who is video games person of the year?
Me.
Me. Actually,
Trip Hawkins.
Definitely.
Trip Hawkins.
Yeah.
Final answer.
Digital Chocolate Hawkins.
Well, he left Digital Chocolate. Or did he leave, or was he forced? I don't even remember. He's not at Digital Chocolate.
You can't force the Trip out.
I don't actually know what Trip Hawkins is doing, but he seems like he was a smart guy in the 80s, so.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd hang out with Trip.
Yeah,
Big Gordon.
Oh, Bing Gordon, hell yeah.
Yeah, he did some of it.
His friggin' first name is Bing. I mean, come on.
Xbox. Bing Gordon.
I mean, both Cliffy B and Peter Molyneux made a lot of headlines this year.
That's not my fault.
Yeah, it's not mine either.
Not
by the way, everybody, this is just a quick one for the viewers. That's Jaffe.
Nice.
That's the best one. Right.
That's a pretty good Jaffe.
He's got pupils.
I drew a picture of Jaffe.
Everybody. just so you know.
I like how I kind of look like the dad from Doug.
Yeah, why not? But
oh man, person of the person dang of the year.
Did anyone do anything really? I mean, there was. I'm trying to think of something really cool that happened that had impact that was like one person's responsibility.
Yeah, I couldn't say as I could identify something like that. I mean. Yeah, I can think of a lot of people that did cool stuff, like I was talking about last week with, or 2 weeks ago with Genova Chen having an idea to target a feeling and an experience with Journey and then getting through to it. But that doesn't make him person of the year. It's very impressive that he was able to realize that something like that, but...
But I have a hard time like associating a game with one person unless it is primarily a one-person game.
Indeed. So. Although it was kind
like
of...
Like a Peter Molyneux game.
It was his vision. Yeah, like a Peter Molyneux game. So maybe curiosity.
Well, Warren Spector. Warren Spector as well. That guy makes his games all by himself.
Is his name Warren Spector or War and Spector? Or is it War in Spector?
Well, it's Warren, W-A-R-R-I-N apostrophe.
Yes.
He's Warren.
He's Warren. Warren. Oh, yeah, he's a fighting guy.
Yeah.
He's a fighting ghost.
Is that a lost Tolstoy novel, War and Spectre?
Yeah, that was my first joke that you missed, apparently.
Yeah, I know.
He's busy drawing, Brandon. He doesn't have time to podcast.
Doesn't have time to podcast.
You didn't specifically mention Tolstoy, though.
Yeah, that one's about the ghost of Napoleon.
Okay, I think Tolstoy is our person of the year.
Sure.
Okay, I'm trying to think of someone who did something like heroic or what's her name who did the Kickstarter for the tropes and the female tropes in video games?
No, that doesn't count because she's not good at it.
Okay. Yeah, she's not very cool.
No.
I mean, no offense.
Yes, to be video games person of the year, you have to be someone we would hang out with.
To me, kind of heroic to put up with all that, but I don't know.
Yeah, it was, but in her thesis, she was saying that, like, women can't be adventurous and stuff. Like, that was not one of the things she was looking for females in games. It was just, like, she didn't have the critical theory behind it, so I don't think I could give it to her.
I didn't pay close enough attention to have an opinion. I'm just, like, grasping at this point for.
Yeah, it's a tough one. What about
it'd be a tough one any year though? It's not like this year was particularly, you know.
Video games just don't really generate people of the year or interesting people at all, really. Yeah, I mean, no offense to people who make video games. Who was it was saying like a couple of years ago, I think I read this on Insert Credit, somebody was asking at the Game Awards show, there was like a TV crew, like, where are all the sexy people in video games? It's like that.
Yeah.
Where's that?
I mean, maybe this just wasn't a remarkable year in general. I mean, even...
No, I don't think any year you'd have, like, people of the year in video games.
I mean, it could be Notch again.
I guess.
Sure.
Notch is video games, that guy.
Kind of video games, and he donated $250,000 of his own money dollars to stop patent trolls.
Yeah,
I mean that's pretty good.
That's really good. I like that.
What about emergent gameplay?
Did Hank Rogers build his moon bases yet?
No,
I want a moon base.
He didn't build those. I guess.
What's he doing?
I don't know.
Come on.
How hard is it to build a moon base?
Tim, are you related to Hank Rogers?
Yeah, he's my bro.
By the way, it's Hank. Right. H-E-N-K. Hank, not Hank. Yeah. Hank.
All right.
Yeah, Hank.
Just saying.
Hank Rogers.
Hank Rogers.
Hank Rogers.
Hank.
What kind of name is Hank? Like, seriously.
I mean, I think German is the answer.
That's, I don't know. It looks misspelled to me, is all.
I'm sorry.
It looks misspelled.
I can't be culpable for that, I'm afraid.
Yeah,
so
you should
I think Notch is what I'm going to have to go with.
Okay, Notch again, I guess.
What exactly did Notch do?
Besides the patent troll thing?
He did the patent troll thing. He made video games.
He made a lot of video games.
He made the video games happen.
He actually makes all of the video games.
I think that Minecraft has kind of reignited the passion for a group of young people in world creation.
I think that happened last year, though.
It did happen last year, but who's this year?
Yeah. So,
I mean,
Notch again.
Even Time Magazine this year was like, I don't know, Barack Obama again, I guess. So they made him Person of the Year again.
Nice.
He bought a Wii or something, didn't he? Because Obama could be our man of the year since he bought a Wii one time.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. Obama's our man of the year.
There you go.
Obama's pretty cool.
Nah.
Okay. I think he's got an iPad as well.
Complete this sentence. 2012 was the year of the blank.
Ooh, yeah.
The year of the continuation of video games.
the year of the Kickstarters.
Yeah, it's the year of crowdfunding.
The year of the Kickstarters.
Yeah. Year of crowdfunding.
I don't even think that it's like. I think that there will be more crowdfunding next year. I think it's 2012 was the dawn of crowdfunding for video games.
Yeah.
I also think it was the dawn of during which Kickstarter turned into it had its eBay moment, like with Sports Friends. Sports Friends was like 50% funded, and then suddenly in the last couple hours, it got all the funding. So because people are they're being like me, they're not bidding on stuff until they're not bidding on their eBay auctions until it's almost over.
It's kind of interesting how fast we've gone through like every possible scenario on Kickstarter.
Wait a second. Shouldn't Tim Schafer be the person of the year?
Tim Schafer?
I guess so.
Cuz he's the Schafer.
He won Kickstarter, didn't he?
Yeah, that credit
goes to Greg Rice more.
Greg Rice, yeah.
I don't know, but Tim Schafer was in. Tim Schafer was in all the videos, so
he was. It's but true. Greg Rice was pushing it through.
You know, I had a really moment that I can share related to this.
Timothy,
I was about to say something hilarious. Pushing it through. Can I do that first?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Otherwise, I was going to say I push my dumps through, but it's still the food that.
that makes it happen, yeah.
So there's kind of this joke that was happening that if you put Tim Schafer in your Kickstarter video, you're guaranteed funding. He was in a couple other game pitches.
Yeah.
So I was looking. Sometimes I go on Kickstarter and look at what's happening locally, just because I like to support local people. And mm-hmm. there was this really cool project. It was these engineering educational toys for girls. Things that turn and have ribbons, and you kind of make your little like machines, and it teaches little girls, you know, the basics of engineering and physics. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. I'm watching the video, and 3 minutes in, bam, in the background, there's Tim Schafer with his daughter playing with the engineering toys. It wasn't anywhere in the pitch. I didn't see Tim like tweet about it or put it on Facebook or anything.
He was just in there.
Just kind of randomly showed up in this Kickstarter pitch video. It's like, man, the stereotype is true that
gotta get that guy.
NASA Schafer is just in all the Kickstarter.
Schafer.
Another thing about that Kickstarter deal, what with video games, is you know, I was very surprised to see a statistic thing where in April or May of 2011, we did a news story on Gamasutra talking about how, you know, like a big milestone for Kickstarter, video games had all together, every video game had made $1 million total. And that was like a big milestone that we were excited about. And, or like, you know, that Kickstarter was excited about. And now, like, you know, just friggin' one game will get 5 million bones now.
Yeah.
It's a situation.
What is the record right now?
5 million
bones. The record
bones.
For software is still
that Elite one. In it?
Was it Elite?
Did Elite pass the Wing Commander guy's one? I don't think so.
Wing Commander guy, I think, is actually what I'm thinking of. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah. Elite,
Elite one did one did well too, but it was yeah.
I don't think it's over yet.
The Wing Commander one though is the one I was trying to think of. And
how much did it get?
I think including hello.
Yeah,
I think including the money that they got on their own site, I believe it was 9 million.
I think you're right. It was over 9 million.
Yeah, because they had it on Kickstarter, but then they had it on their own Webby site, and they got money there too.
God, I would do so many drugs for $9 million.
Yeah.
I would waste all that money. I would kickstart my suicide with that.
You could make so many games that are like X experience on Y drug with that much money.
Yeah. A game that's like steroids on crack.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was noticed that Obsidian Kickstarter only made $4 million, but they made $4 million.
Project Eternity, is that what it's called?
Project Eternity.
Yeah.
That and then there's even stuff like the thing that Kickstarter tells me is that even weird non-mainstream stuff like that Barkley project, Barkley Hoops, Barkley Saga 2.
Yeah.
Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden 2, even that can get like they made $100,000 on that.
Yeah, you know?
Really?
Like that's I think it's at something like that. They only wanted like 35K. Makes me think, man, I want to Kickstarter something, but I don't actually want to.
They had a built-in audience already, which is key, I think, to Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. There was that game based on some webcomic that I'll probably never read. That a couple million.
Homestuck.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever the heck that is. Yeah. That got a bunch of money. That something that none of us have heard of.
But because
that $2 million,
like, that is.
Even without a game, they're like, hey, we're making a game. Here's some animations that might be in the game.
Yeah. You know, so the best Kickstarters are for the companies which have already started.
It hasn't
sort of,
become
not necessarily. I mean, I kickstarted a thing that. Oh no, you're gonna stop the thing. We don't have any time. Keep going.
You guys lose.
Keep doing it.
One could say this year began with the PlayStation Vita and concluded with the Wii U. Which of these devices shows greater promise in years to come?
iPad.
Okay,
iPad Mini. iPad Mini. Why couldn't you mention the iPad Mini? That also launched at the end of the year.
But that's not exclusively a video game thing.
Yeah, but Jappy's still in like 2005, apparently.
It's going to have more video games.
Yeah, I mean, what is the iPad Mini if not a video game device? What else are you going to do with that?
Well, I mean, it's like a giant phone, You can have 4G on it, and you can Skype people.
I don't want no 4G.
You can have a Bluetooth thing.
Get off of there.
Skype 4G. Yeah, you can get the 4G. But the iPad Mini is going to be the game machine of the future. Like, I mean, I don't even have one. I don't have one. I'm not on the take. I'm not on the pay.
I want to be on the take, by the way.
No,
Apple,
no cashola. I'm not getting any cashola. But that's definitely the game machine of the future. I just, you know, I held one for like 10 seconds, and I'm like, yeah, this is, you know, just doing, I was getting my greasy filth all over it and just kind of holding it like that. And I'm like, that's the machine of the future. This is like, it's so light. It's so thin. It's so sturdy. It's an iPad. It runs fast. I played goddamn Jetpack Joyride on it in the Apple Store, and I'm like, man, this is it right here. This is the video game thing of the future.
I mean, I'm never going to own an iPhone, I'm pretty sure. And I have this iPad.
Sure.
I got this iPad, and all I do with it is play games. I don't need it for any other purpose because it's a useless device, except for, like, what the heck do you need an iPad for? Nothing. But you can play games on it, and that is a thing that with the iPad Mini, where it's a much more comfortable size to hold in your hand, and it's like almost game controller size.
Have you played with one yet?
No.
Like, yeah, I'm going to have one pretty soon because of the payola, so you can come check it out.
Nice. Right.
Like, it's pretty cool. Like, I'm seeing, it's like the Wii U controller. It's lighter than the Wii U controller, you know, and the screen is better at touch, and there's games for it. They got Final Fantasy IV DS Remake was released for the iPad just like two days ago. It looks brilliant, you know. Like, they're making Final Fantasy V for it. I bet they're going to do like a Nintendo DS-style Final Fantasy Remake touchscreen control game for Final Fantasy V, like for the iPad. That's mind-blowing, you know. They must be making cash off of those. So maybe I think the iPads and the tablets and stuff are the new games, man.
I'm going to make a commitment in front of this podcast and the ears of God that when a sort of DS-style remake of Final Fantasy VI comes out, that will be the day I purchase an iPad Mini.
I'm pretty sure they're doing it because in the trailer for Final Fantasy IV, it said, coming soon, Final Fantasy V and more. So, yeah. Hopefully by the time it comes out, there will be a Retina screen iPad Mini. And
yeah, here's my plan. Yeah. I'm getting one of them Surface Pros.
Yeah.
I'm going to get really responsible and get a Surface Pro, and that'll be my tablet. And then I'm still going to want iOS stuff, and I'm going to get an iPad Mini when they're Retina displayed. And then I will set.
That's a good plan.
That's what I'm waiting for.
Although, also, 2012, hey, I thought of a disappointment that is sort of related to defining consoles,
cool.
which
Hold
is, for Frank and myself, I think it's similar, because this is the year that we both finally canceled our Pandora pre-order, which
four years
later, we canceled our order for the $330 device that we paid for.
That unfortunately does not entitle you to a refund, though, does it?
People have been getting refunds.
We're supposed to be getting a refund, actually.
Yeah. Did you get a reply at all?
I got a reply.
Okay, I need to send a fourth email, I guess.
Okay, but the reply was, we will pay you when we can. I'm like,
I didn't even get that.
That's going to be never, I guess.
The reason I canceled, for those who don't know, Pandora is really cool. It looks like a DS Lite, and it's a computer. It's an ARM-based
keyboard.
With a keyboard and buttons and shoulder buttons and everything, and even a touch screen. That would have been really cool 4 years ago.
It's got buttons
and
for save
states. I
still
felt like there wasn't an equivalent of that, but the Surface is what convinced me to finally cancel it because it's Windows with a USB port. Someone's going to make, and probably are already making, clip-on controllers for both sides. And it's just going to be this giant PSP that emulates everything. And
so you're just going to carry it down the street, and ladies are just going to dolphin fling themselves at you.
Absolutely.
You know what that word I just used?
Dolphin
fling. Like
they're going to dolphin fling themselves at you. They're going to kangaroo flop at you, directly into you, knocking you over.
God, it's going to be terrible.
But yeah, so if we have to pick a winner between the Wii U and the Vita, this is
it's absolutely
better,
the Vita. The Vita is just a spectacular. It's the most powerful console to ever be in your head.
It's actually pretty powerful. But
you know me, I've been playing Symphony of the Night on it. That's a little spoiler. Symphony of the Night is going to be the game reviewed in Action Button Entertainment Podcast number 2. By the way, that's a little spoiler. But I've been playing Symphony of the Night on it over here, and I'm in my parents' house in Indiana right now because that's why it's Christmas. See that? That's why the blizzard outside. But there's it's a nice piece of plastic. It's a better piece of plastic than the Wii U is.
I played Alundra on it.
There, it's a good one. It's a really good game.
What should the video game industry as a whole make their New Year's resolution?
Just stop it.
Make the more fun game words.
Wait, what? What was the question? It totally glitched out for a second.
What should video games make their New Year's resolution?
Make fun games.
Oh, more Kickstarters.
More Kickstarters. More game consoles. More social games.
Oh, I've got that Baldur's Gate on my iPad. That's another iPad game. Like, man, it's full Baldur's Gate. Like,
I want, you know what? I want a gate that makes me hairier, not balder.
Nice!
So is the New Year's resolution more old games on the iPad?
More real, more deep games.
Give me more of those,
On these things that we all have, even if they have to be old games.
New Year's resolution 2013. I want to see a new Mario, new Zelda, new Metroid, new Kid Icarus, new Pikmin, and a new... What was the other one? I had another one in my head before I started. New Smash Brothers.
Okay,
new Smash Brothers, all announced at E3, or I'm walking.
I would like to see not only more deep games, I also want to see more fun... light arcadey games, because I want to see those that don't try to monetize me all the time.
You know, go ahead, sorry.
No, I'm fine. You do it.
Even though I've never even touched Linux, I would like people to start supporting Linux in the games industry, even though I'm not a Linux guy, because...
you will be.
Why is that?
I probably will be, but I mean, it's just getting too damn restrictive. On the consoles and on that Win 8 there, and
Windows more like Win blows.
I feel we're not at like a danger point yet, but I feel like we're moving too far away from like truly open architectures, and I really, you know, we need to fight back, and I would hope that people follow Valve's lead and start supporting Linux a lot more.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, why not, man? I say let's go for it.
How about from the sense that New Year's resolutions are started and then inevitably broken within the first month of practice?
Okay.
New Mario announced at E3. They need to all do that. I need new Super Mario Brothers U2 is what I need.
Yeah, it's not enough there.
And it better not have music by U2 in it.
Starring The Edge.
Yeah. I would rather jump off the edge.
Wait, wouldn't that be new Super Mario? Wait, wouldn't that be new Super Mario Brothers W?
Nice. Yeah. That's a good one. I like that. That's funny. That's all really
right.
Good.
All players should resolve to start properly pronouncing that series, which is New Super Mario Bros.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they should pronounce that. Yeah, they should call it New Super Mario Bros. I want a New Year's resolution for there to be more games with the avatars on the Xbox.
Hate that so much. Those are the worst.
I want them to use those, you know? Yeah. Like, why not? Why don't they use them?
God, I hate those games.
I think there should be more games with James Cameron's avatars.
Yeah, more sure, of those, too.
People have sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love those.
In that series, if you weren't aware.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, I think Linux is the answer, damn it.
Okay.
Yeah,
Let's have the Linux then. I want to have a whole bunch of Linux on stuff.
Linux it is.
I want Linux on my iPad. I want like a Linux emulator on there.
What will be the game of the year for 2013?
Oh, man. Action Button Entertainment's Copter Wild.
Oh, man, I hope so.
Copter Wild is going to be the game of the year.
That's actually a really good
question.
What's coming out? We know of BioShock and Grand Theft Auto.
And Thelastifus.
BioShock Infinite, Thelastifus, Far Cry 4, probably.
That's called Far Cry. It's known as Far Cry.
Assassin's Creed : Word, some word, is coming out because they won't put a numbered one.
Call of Duty
is going to be in Modern Warfare. There's going to be in Modern Warfare 4, probably,
Modern Warfare.
I think also the
Anarchy Reigns, DMC, Ni No Kuni.
DMC's already out.
Yeah,
it just came out. Came out like last week or something.
Right.
Ni No Kuni that was already out like years ago in Japan, so I'm not counting that one.
Revengeance comes out next year.
Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Yeah, maybe it will be cool, though. I think you think you don't. I think you might care a tiny bit more than you think you do, Brandon.
Why? Explain why. Because
it's made by Platinum Games, and it's a dumb action game like Bayonetta that just happens to be skinned with Metal Gear.
Yeah. Have you been aware of me liking any Platinum Games thus far?
No, but I think you would still probably be a little bit more interested in it than you think you would be.
Okay.
It looks pretty good. Look at some of the gameplay videos. It actually looks like it's fun. I am like totally, what do you call it? I do not like no Metal Gear stories or anything. I think that it's just schlock and trash, and it's just like garbage wrapped in filth, right? And garbage wrapped in filth contained in a bucket made of sleaze. But, I think it still looks like a fantastic little action game with tough stuff in it. So why not just put that there? Actually, I think, you know what? Game of the Year 2013 is going to be Thelastifus, I think.
Yeah, I think it might be Thelastifus, actually.
After watching those new trailers, like, everybody freaked out this year about that Walking Dead, right?
Yeah.
Like, Thelastifus looks like Walking Dead. Like, it looks like it's got that level of well-meaning in the story, you know? Like, it looks like they've got a plot, like a plot to rival TV shows in there.
I don't think it's the Walking Dead's plot that did it. Having finally played the first episode, I think it's that this is the first adventure game to sort of, not entirely, but to start to strip away the stuff that people don't want adventure games, like the walking around and looking for inventory. And there are parts of that game where all you're doing is making decisions and touching your decisions. It's a decision-making simulator. And I'm like, really looking forward to people ripping that off.
Yeah.
I love touching my decisions.
Yeah. I said in my my article that's going on Kotaku, I think tomorrow, I said something about that. I said there's going to be like a million games like it next year at this time, and then in 5 years we will have an HBO series worthy back catalog of
the rise of the
like
visual novel.
Let's say in 10 years we will have an HBO worthy back catalog of games like that.
They're barely games. They're choose your own adventures that are semi interactive, and that's fine. I like that.
And the thing is, I feel like Thelastifus has preemptively, possibly, they were working on it before they knew about The Walking Dead, probably, but I feel like they preemptively co-opted that whole stripped-away adventure game style into their game. It looks like they've squeezed plot into the action of that game. I watched the most recent gameplay trailer thing, and I was like, man, they really built up a kind of a world thing here, I think. So I'm all for stuff like that. But probably Gears of War Judgment is probably going to be the game of the year. It's Gears of War, and it's faster. I mean, come on. You play this.
The actual game of the year is going to be something that's not AAA, and we all know it.
Right.
Of course.
That hasn't even begun development yet and will be finished in a weekend.
That's probably in development.
Probably Walking Dead 2.
Yeah.
They're probably going to put some FPS in it.
Well, you know, they announced that they acquired King's Quest a couple of years ago, so they finally come out with King's Quest.
King's My body's yeah. ready for a King's Quest.
People are just salivating over a new King's Quest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
More like calivating over a new Sing's Quest.
Oh, you know what comes out? You know what comes out next year?
What?
Rambo the video game.
I'm ready.
Really?
Yeah.
I was ready.
Rambo the video game.
I was ready a long time ago.
Sure.
Like
that's a scheduled 2013 release.
Yeah.
I played Rambo 3 on the Genesis. That wasn't very good. The end.
I guess everybody was freaking out the other day about that that Dark Souls, the new Dark Souls game was announced.
Yeah, Dark Souls,
too, or whatever it's called.
Sark Dolls.
Game's probably going to be all right. I think I think they don't got the balls to make real. I guess my thing is, I try to judge video games as like mainstream entertainment. You know, like what's the mainstream entertainment value of a game? And it's like Dark Souls or whatever has basically zero mainstream entertainment value. And The Walking Dead has a whole bunch, and The Last of Us has a little bit.
Man, when they make something that plays like The Walking Dead but doesn't have damn zombies in it, that's gonna be something.
To be fair, Walking Dead is eventually not even about zombies at all.
Oh, I know that. I've
past
read
a certain point. Yeah.
I think, just as an example, my girlfriend would love this game, but there's this zombie wall.
The zombie barrier, yeah.
You have to get past it that, like, even I have a hard time getting past. And you know,
God when, darn zombie barrier, yeah.
I think
it's zombies. Zombies are boring as hell.
They should make a Walking Dead type thing about being a dubstep DJ, and that will be...
Oh, God.
I'd play that. So The Last of Us is about, it's not, there's no zombies in it. It's, and there was like a virus that killed most of the people in the world, but it's not a zombie virus.
Yeah, but this is still a game where you have to, like, aim a gun. You know, this is...
That's true.
This isn't Walking Dead where you're just making decisions. And you're just choosing, like, this is what I'm saying.
You should play it on the PlayStation 3 because the textures look a lot worse.
Yeah.
Great. That's a stunning recommendation.
Yeah, you should go for those bad textures. Nah, they're all right. There's nothing too bad about them. I enjoyed it. I played it with these headphones on, and I was like, heck yeah.
Like, no matter what, The Last of Us is a game that's going to be played by video game players. It's not going to
That's true.
On.
Yeah.
It does have some... there were a lot of blog posts. There was something on Kotaku when Uncharted 2 came out. It was like... I played this game, and my friend just sat there and watched it and didn't seem to be not enjoying watching me play this game. And it's like, I feel like there is sort of a future for that. There's sort of a driver-passenger relationship in the future.
Oh,
yeah. People, that AAA game makers don't keep in mind, but I have this hunch. I have this hunch that Naughty Dog keeps that driver-passenger relationship in mind.
So, The Last of Us is our game of the year 2013.
Do you have more to say about that? Because I find that interesting and would donate.
What the
I'll do it. I have something to say about that too. Actually,
let's one up.
I can finish my thought very quickly.
Yeah. Do it.
I also think that Tim Schafer's games, like Brutal Legend, which a lot of people didn't love, had a really good driver passenger connection in it. Like you could watch somebody play that game. You know, and the Uncharted games spectacularly have that. And I was just watching the gameplay for that, The Last of Us, and it was mind blowing. Like how much it's like I could probably just chill out and watch somebody else play this. And something like Final Fantasy 13 or whatever, which you figure would naturally have this really great passenger connection, just didn't. Like, because the battles are just like, unless
boring.
You're the one pressing the X button over and over again, you're not having fun with that game. Like,
imagine something like The Last of Us, but like player two is on a smart glass tablet or something, just kind of making choices, you know, in a very intuitive human way.
Yeah, I feel like Walking Dead is probably spectacular to watch somebody else play.
Yeah.
You know?
And the thing I was going to say is that games that have a certain kind of choice to them are interesting for people to watch just because they feel engaged in what's happening and they can also influence choices. My friend John
kind
Johnson was talking about playing XCOM, and he's got this big home theater area, and he was playing it with three other people, and he was playing the single player mode, and there are just all these, you know,
dudes in the room just being like, no, do that.
Being like, no, you should go over there and get this thing.
Okay,
and
now imagine that, and everyone's got an iPhone, and you're all voting on decisions that are timed.
Man, you don't even need technology. Like, if someone were to make a visual novel like a Walking Dead style game, and just play up the idea that these decisions are fun and have them coming more frequently, and it's like, you don't need tablets, no extra technology, no extra peripherals required. It's just, we've got this game going on this television, and we've got to make a choice now. We've got 20 seconds. What's the choice going to be?
Everyone's just screaming the choice, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, I'll do that, and then you're passing the controller around. But, yeah, I think that's a really cool thing.
And something else Walking Dead did also that is kind of new that I should have pointed out that a lot of people know is that your decisions actually affect the rest of the storyline.
Sort of unpredictable ways, too.
Yeah, totally.
It doesn't just change the end cutscene.
It changes the future episodes that you play.
There's a part that dies. Yeah.
It's real interesting.
Like, my mind got blown by the first couple of little things that happen in the game. Like, when you're in the car at the beginning, and then you have, like, there's one decision that you have about 1 second to make.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to spoil. Have you played it yet, Brandon?
I haven't yet. I'm going to start very soon.
You should check it out.
I have not, and I was about to yank off my headset before you said
I wasn't going to spoil it because there's a lot of people out there. Right. I assume that insert credit, given the games that people sent in for Games of the Year, not even mentioning XCOM, I imagine there's a lot of people out there who are too cool for something as popular as The Walking Dead.
So, well, now that it's free, I was no longer too cool for it.
Episodes 1 through 3
are
free.
That's
how I feel. Brandon,
I got way less cool when it got free.
It turns out that PSN, it's only the first episode, right?
Yeah, but, see, I downloaded this.
Yeah, even though they download, but then you have to pay to unlock them. So episodes 1 through 3 are free on Xbox Live right now, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So check that out. I only know about that because I've seen people tweeting about it all day today. So
I should definitely check that out right after the show.
You definitely should get up to your elbows in it. Next question.
I think you're going to pay Telltale $20 or whatever it is.
This next question is a simple one. Was this a good year?
Do you mean for video games or for us? In general.
for your relationships with video games.
Let's go ahead and answer the question as a mix of those things.
Yeah.
I think we had a... I want to go back to the disappointment for a second. It was a huge disappointment that Ziggurat only got a 9 from Edge instead of a 10. That was the disappointment of the year for me. But... I mean, I don't know. I've made some games, and people seemed to like them, so that
was a pretty good year.
It was a transformative year for me, and I think for a lot of people. I think we're on the verge of something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I think all of us here feel it, and are kind of like, you know, like barely touching it, and we're almost there. But like for me, this is a year where I kind of. I almost hit rock bottom after the E3 thing, and then I'm starting to sort of feel, you know, I'm starting to see sort of a rebirth of the entire video game industry right now. That's starting, I think, with this crowdfunding thing. So was it a good year? I don't know if you could call it good. It was for me anyway. It was you know, a turning point year.
Right.
I think next year is going to be a lot bigger than this year.
I guess I basically agree with that. I played a lot of, you know, iOS games, which I, a couple years ago, hated the idea of. And to some extent, I still do. And I play them because they're convenient and around. And, you know, it's not daunting to pick up an iOS game and just try it. Whereas with, like, a AAA Xbox 360 game, you're like, okay, where am I going to find 30 hours to do whatever this is? And that's, you know, that's why I bought XCOM a few days ago and still haven't actually put it in there. In addition to playing a bunch of those games, I also played a lot of Genesis games and TurboGrafx games. Like, I found that, you know, I was playing convenient games, and when I wanted to play, like, an actual experience game, I was going back to the ones that take a half hour or an hour to finish.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I was going to say that too. I did the same thing. Link's Awakening, which I've talked about like four times now.
There's something
between that and what I was just talking about, this sort of transformation of the industry, where it's like, I feel like we might be getting back to that stage where we can play something that feels like a real experience, but can only take like a half hour, or, you know, even like 2 hours to beat a full game or something.
I think that perhaps one of the things is that we are, you know, there's been a whole lot of kind of retro stuff that is aiming for nostalgia, but right. I think that we're gonna start to see people target not just, you know, visuals and sound and stuff, but the feelings that we used to have when we played games that made us feel good about video games and made us enjoy them. And
well,
I think
people,
that's what indies are building toward now.
Yeah, what? Like, I hope people start ripping off the actual, like feeling, like you said, or the actual, like design parts that were the invisible influences on us.
Yeah, going for the experience, not the immediate visual and sound stuff.
We're not playing old games because they're old and we're nostalgic, necessarily.
Right.
I think there needs to be more study of the pacing of old RPGs and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, definitely.
People study, they've studied the feeling a lot, but not the... I think the pacing is like extremely important in something like Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah, I've been playing a whole lot of Dragon Quest V this year, and that's not out of nostalgia. It's a game I've never played before, and the pacing is just not something I see in game today.
It is hyper-modernly paced. It is like incredibly modern in the pacing of it. Like, it's like modern to a point where there actually aren't games as well-paced as that right now. And it's like, it's just... Yeah, there's got to be stuff like that. But was this year a good year? I would say it certainly... There were a lot of these high-profile games, you know?
Yeah, so that's always good.
The high-profile games were pretty good. And by high-profile, I don't necessarily mean AAA. I mean stuff that people talked about a lot. I think even the Angry Birds this year was pretty good.
Space was good, yeah.
Space
there
was good.
There were two Angry Birds this year, my friend.
I was going to say the Star Wars one was pretty good, too. So there you go. Even the Angry Birds were good.
Wait, didn't Bad Piggies come out this year, too?
Yeah, that one wasn't quite as good.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a knack for those game concepts. You can just kind of pick up and flop your body all over. You know, you can kind of just slap your fingers all over those games. But, yeah.
Yep. I guess it was all right. I mean, I don't hate on it. This year was fine. I didn't feel like my mind was blown, but when was the last time I felt that way? I don't remember it.
My mind got blown in the first 5 minutes of that Walking Dead game about five times. So
I saw your tweets and such about it.
They weren't tweets. I was emailing you.
Oh.
I was just emailing you. So
that's right.
So
you were.
I didn't want to tweet about it because then people would be like, "Look at this jerk liking this popular game. I guess I hate him now."
I tell you what, one thing that doesn't happen that's not exactly related to video games but is related to technology is my increased understanding, which I just actually proved I don't have, but my increased understanding of when it is appropriate to use Facebook versus Twitter versus an email versus a text message.
Now, I'm a little disappointed, guy. I'm a little disappointed, guys, because I specifically asked that question in the hopes that one of you would sing "It Was a Very Good Year."
Oh, I don't want to sing on no podcast.
I'll sing later. I'll sing something.
Let's move on to our lightning round.
Okay.
Oh, man, really? The LR already?
Already.
Wow. All right, let's do it.
It just flew by. So we're going to play Bottom Line Review again. Except this time we are doing specifically video games which were released this year that we didn't discuss on the GOTY 2012 podcast.
Oh, crap.
Goaty.
So games we've played even less than those other games we didn't play.
Exactly.
Nice.
Let's do it.
So I'm going to tell you the name of a game. You're going to say that name of the game is, and you'll finish the sentence, and you're essentially defining and reviewing a game in one sentence. Here we go. Katowa Shoujo.
Katowa Shoujo is a game made by jerks for jerks, is what my impression is.
Should go for it. Yeah.
Is that good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty good.
As an editor, I would take out the last part of that. You know, you don't have to have, that's what my impression of that is, because that's kind of understood by being.
Oh, I would take that out as well. Okay. That's a good one.
Gotham City Imposters.
Batman the FPS.
Yeah.
Gotham City Imposters is Batman the FPS, yeah.
Silent Hill Downpour.
Silent Hill Downpour with poor spelled P-O-O-R.
Oh!
Nice.
More like Silent... Yeah, there you go. Like Silent Hill Down P-O-O-R.
Yeah.
Skullgirls.
Skullgirls is a game my friends worked on.
It's not really a review, more of a fact.
That is also my review of that game.
That's a very fair review of that game.
I could think of a review for Skullgirls. I only played it for a couple of minutes.
Skullgirls has really nice animation. Yeah. How about that?
That's has, not is.
Skullgirls is.
Is really nicely animated.
A fighting game we know worked on and has nice animation.
Yeah.
Skullgirls is a fighting game for people who would rather eat.
Yeah. What would they like to eat, Tim?
Who would
rather eat?
Yeah.
Corn flakes than Captain Crunch? No.
Okay.
Anyway, keep going. That's it. That's all I got.
That's awful.
Like Marvel 2.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, Game of Thrones the game is a game. Game of Thrones the game is a game. I can't imagine being good at all.
Yeah, unless it were made like the Walking Dead, in which case it would be awesome.
It would be totally awesome. Game of Thrones the game is, oh man, well, Skyrim was called, the story's just like Game of Thrones, which it's not. So yeah. it's probably a lot like Skyrim.
Great.
Game of Thrones, more like Game of Thrones spelled T-H-R-O-W-N.
Great. Lollipop Chainsaw.
Oh, man.
Lollipop Chainsaw is a game that Tim designed by accident.
Lollipop Chainsaw is a game for people who would rather...
eat cornflakes.
It's a game for people who would rather eat broken glass than Taco Bell.
Okay.
Lollipop Chainsaw is a game for people with no imagination who are also 14.
Lollipop Chainsaw is a game for people who wish they had an imagination.
The Secret World.
The Secret World is not so secret anymore.
I was about to say that exact same thing. So.
I guess that's one.
I guess that's it. Persona 4 Arena.
Persona 4 Arena is the least fun you can have pressing one button over and over.
Persona 4 Arena was a lot cooler when it played clubs.
Alright.
Persona 4 Arena is a video game
for people who would rather eat.
Is a video game for people who would rather play Tekken than Super Mario Brothers.
Okay.
Sure, that's true.
That's
Black
terrible...
Mesa.
Oh, Black Mesa, the Half-Life remake?
Yeah.
Black Mesa is a remake of Half-Life.
Great.
Black Mesa makes me think of the Cowboys of Moo Mesa, and then I wanted to play that instead, but that wasn't really a good game, but I liked the cartoon when I was 8. Period.
It's not really a sentence, Fresh.
I would take off the when I was 8.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's just a cartoon that I liked.
Sure. All
right. Skylanders Giants.
Skylanders Giants is a little bit too big for me.
It's a little too big for its britches.
Skylanders Giants is that game with the really impressive retail display.
What gets the money?
Skylanders Giants is like cereal on crack. For kids, obviously, because kids like
cereal. For kids who are also on crack.
Crack for kids.
No, wait. Skylanders Giants is the new Saturday morning cartoon.
There you go.
Oh, there we go.
That's like
Angry Birds Star Wars.
Angry Birds Star Wars is possibly the best Star Wars game of the decade.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I don't know. Lego Star Wars is pretty great.
No,
I don't like those Legos. I don't like any of those Lego games, by the way.
It's all so squishy.
I want to go ahead and say that right now as a disclaimer. If you like those Lego games, GTFO, my house.
I'm going to sideline for a little bit and say that I have met so many PR people that obviously do not play video games that say that Lego Star Wars is their favorite game, or Lego X is their favorite game, because they want to like a game, and Lego Star Wars is one they can do.
It's really funny how Legos are not Legos anymore. Yeah. It's just a brand.
It's a brand for video games.
And it's like not. And the products I've seen don't seem to encourage imagination. I think that's why Minecraft did what it did.
Yeah, it did inspire
imagination. Just because there's like a lack of Lego.
Yeah.
We're still lightning rounding, and
one more round.
The last one is Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed.
It's a game that people keep talking about, and they seem to be enjoying it. I don't understand.
Yeah. I mean,
Sonic in it.
Sumo Digital made it, and they did Outrun things. They made it.
They made it. Like, they actually... It's not a port of a thing.
They made it.
But
Sumo Digital's good, so...
They actually
Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed is Sonic Outrun?
In theory, if I had played it, I bet that's what I would say.
It's on the Wii U. Apparently, it's cool on the Wii U.
All right.
Like, if we had it on the Wii U.
How about Sonic whatever racing something is on the Wii U? How about that?
Great. Yeah. Is Wii U.
This has been the Insert Credit 2012 Retro Spectacular. If you stick around and you're watching this live, we might answer a few of your questions after the show, but this is us wrapping the show right now.
We're going to A your cues. We're going to A your cues.
Nope.
So you could follow us on the Insert Credit Facebook group at facebook.com/ICpodcast. Next week, we're going to be discussing what is the best game of all time, which is a feature we hope to revisit once a year, every year, and see how our opinions change. If you would like to weigh in on this, make sure to email me at podcast@insertcredit.com, where I will surprise the panel with your choices. So don't tell them what your choices are.
Yes.
So we'll see you then, and you'll see us if you tune in live. Otherwise, you'll hear us about 3 days later.
Everybody email Landstalker, please.
Yeah, sure. Great.
Get Landstalker in there, somebody.
Landstalker.
Box Revenge.
No bonk. We're gonna call it the No Bonk. It's gonna be the No Bonkers podcast.
You know you want to do it,
guys. I am obligated to say bonk if even one of you emails me bonk. So please do not email bonk.
Everyone email bonk.
I'm going to start a rival podcast called No Bonkers Podcast. NoBonkers.com.
This has been the Insert Credit Podcast. I'm Alex Jaffe.
I'm Chris Fogg.
I'm Tim Rogers. I got
I'm
in before
Box
Brandon.
Revenge.
No!
And no this is podcasting.
Yeah!
Punk.
Podcast over, yeah!